Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Back here on Sports 1140 KHTK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. We're coming to you from Golden 1 Center tonight, the Kings and the Lakers. As we said from the top, we will not see LeBron James. Didn't even make the trip here. Kings will be without Tyrese Haliburton. And in a few moments, we'll be joined by Howard Beck to talk all things NBA, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover podcast. He will be joining us here in a few moments. Doug, let's talk while we wait for Howard about the Kings without Tyrese. Now, they've played without him a little bit, but I felt like there were so many times, and we'll get into this in a moment because we do have Howard now, so we'll talk more
Howard.
About that. The great Howard Beck joining us right now, senior writer for Sports Illustrated and co-host of the Crossover podcast. Howard, how are you?
Gentlemen, good. How are you?
We're great. We're great. We can see the finish line to the All-Star break. How's the basketball season treated you COVID-wise trying to cover this league?
I mean, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and a lot of the various just the strain that, of course, the pandemic has put on everybody, and everybody's lives are, you know, disrupted and all that. So it is not politically correct, or it's not tasteful for any of us to complain about anything right now, given everything. But this is a terrible season to cover. I mean, I've been to one game. I don't go to games. There's no point in going to games. The whole point of being a reporter covering sports or anything is to be present. It's about relationships. It's about being there. It's about experiencing things in person and talking to people and just exploring and seeing what comes of it. I don't cover games anyway, because that's not what I do these days. I write, you know, features and analysis, but the best insights we get are from just, you know, chit chatting, you know, Doug, you and I have done this many times over the years, like just shooting the breeze on the court pregame. And that's where the best conversations and insights and everything come from, is just being around, being at practices or shoot arounds, games, pregame and all this. And so there are much bigger problems in the world. And I, you know, want to make sure that everything I say is within the framework of that. But I will say that covering sports at a time like this, it's very difficult. It's not as rewarding. It's not as conducive to great reporting or storytelling, because you can't see anybody in person. And even if you can go to the games, which, you know, we're permitted as media to go, but we cannot get anywhere near the coaches and players and everyone else working for the teams. So it really, really inhibits the way you can do the job. So it's challenging, to say the least.
Howard, it's Howard, you live in New York. It's driving me crazy to listen to you say that. And right now, New York basketball is happening, baby. I'm even talking about the Knicks, Howard Beck, and, of course, the trio that is in Brooklyn. Just tell me, okay, so you don't get to go to the games, Howard, but there still has to be a vibe in the city. What's the vibe in the city?
It's funny, because somebody asked me that the other day. They were saying, like, so, you know, the Nets have, you know, this championship contending team, but the Knicks are finally, you know, relevant again. And what are you feeling more, the Knicks or the Nets? I'm like, I'm not feeling anything. I'm not going anywhere. I'm sitting in my apartment. Like, I mean, it's not like I'm hanging out at, you know, sports bars or barbershops. There's nothing. I mean, honestly, so I live in Brooklyn. I'm a mile and a half from the Nets arena. But we go out for the essentials, don't spend much time socializing or anything. We're not socializing, really. So there is no vibe. There probably is a vibe. And I'm like, if you go on Twitter, you know, which is it's a COVID-free location, Twitter, you know, Twitter's got its own viruses. Twitter's got its own toxic elements, but not COVID. I mean, obviously, look, Knicks fans are ecstatic. And some are even going to games now, because the Garden just has started allowing it. So you probably saw the viral video of Knicks fans celebrating as if they'd won the title the other night when they got to 500. That's how pent up the emotions and just the need for the Knicks to be good again is. And yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, because yes, the Knicks, the bar is kind of low for them right now, given where they've been the last several years. So just being fun, which they are, relevant, which they are, respectable, which they are, it's been a while, And so there's a natural excitement about that. And then across the river, on you know, side of the river I live on, the Nets are legit title contenders. They've got their own concerns, but still, like, that is an incredibly talented team, obviously. And you can only imagine what things would be like if we weren't in the midst of a pandemic, what those two arenas would look and sound like, and what it would be like when they played each other. And, you know, the only game I've been to this season, guys, was opening night at Barclays when the Nets played the Warriors, because I wanted to see what Kevin Durant's debut looked like in an empty arena. And it was just as weird and unsettling as you would expect. And ever since then, that has been the enduring thought in my head, is all the things that we're missing in terms of the environment and the reactions. And, you know, James Harden is back in Houston tonight for the first time. And I don't know how many people are allowing at Rockets games, but it's not going to be the same as a packed building, right? So, you know, it's hard to gauge some of the drama, you know, even here in New York, and just the excitement levels, because it's just not the same.
Howard Beck joining us, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, also co-host of the Crossover podcast. Howard, you talked about both those teams, and I'll stick with the Nets. You said, you know, obviously things are going great. They got the trio. They're winning a ton of games, but they have their own concerns. What would those be for the Nets? What keeps them from maybe being a champion?
I mean, the first thing is obviously defense. They have three, you know, not just elite offensive players, but three all-timers in Durant and Harden and Kyrie Irving. And, you know, Durant's been out for a long stretch here, and it hasn't even mattered because James Harden has been that good and Kyrie Irving's been that good. And they've gotten some nice contributions from, you know, guys like, you know, Landry Shamet and they have like an okay supporting cast, but they don't have a deep bench. They don't have size because, of course, they gave up Jared Allen, their young center in the deal for Harden. DeAndre Jordan is several steps slower than he was during his prime years in LA. And, you know, they're getting some minutes out of him. Nice return recently from Nick Claxton, their young center, who's given them some good minutes. And maybe that will help, you know, solve some of the issues at center. But I think, you know, they've been consistently one of the worst defensive teams in the league. And, you know, they've got to figure out if they can find anybody in the buyout market when that arrives, or whether they're just going to just blow people off the court and not concern themselves with that. I mean, and that's an overstatement. They will concern themselves with defense, but I just don't know how high this group can get defensively, how tight they can be given their personnel and given the lack of a true rim protector. Kevin Durant might be their best 7-footer defensively at this stage when he gets back.
Howard, both you and I, after last night, Suns beat the Lakers, move into second. Are you a buyer with what you see from the Suns? You and I both know Monty from our time in New York. Chris Paul now, everything that you're seeing with this Suns team, what does it tell you about them so far?
Well, it's interesting where they are, because in one respect, we look at this as a very young team, right, built around Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and the rest of that group. They've drafted nicely over the last couple of years. Cam Johnson, another one. So it's a young team. And you think, well, okay, well, Chris Paul comes in and we get, you know, Jay Crowder. Now we've got some veterans who've seen it all, done it all. And lo and behold, they found the right combination. Like, everything clicked, and they're one of the best teams in the West. Are they a championship team? I would say probably not right now, given who they'd have to go through. But then it raises the question of their window, right? Because, well, they're a young team. They've got years together. But hold on. Chris Paul's turning 36 soon, in May. And, you know, what is your window? Is Chris Paul your window? Because if that's the case, you know, maybe you've got to really seriously consider whether there's another deal to make in the next few weeks and make the run now. Because, Doug, you know this, and maybe it's less true today, but I've always observed this in the 24 years I've covered the NBA, especially guards, and especially smaller guards, of which Chris Paul belongs to that category. Usually you're tailing off in your early to mid-30s, and by 35, 36, you're usually done. And also there's this cliff that guards fall off, especially small guards, point guards. And you don't see that cliff coming. One day a guy's still elite and all-star, and the next day he's just done. And you don't see it coming. You just never know. Chris Paul's not showing any signs of that. But again, you often do not get any warning signs. So mm-hmm. I don't know what their real window is. I don't know that anybody can possibly project that. And so does the young core make the leaps necessary to be a contender immediately without any major moves, or are you still figuring, you know what, we need one more move. We need one more swing for the fences to get another star in here with Booker and Paul, or is Ayton going to be that guy? It's an interesting thing to consider when you start thinking about it in terms of Chris Paul's window and his age.
I didn't think about it that way, Howard. You know what's interesting about that? Because when you say one more move, you would be correct, but in that move, you might give up one of the young pieces that going forward, like you might have to give up Mikal Bridges or something like that. And if that's the case now, that's an elite wing defender, go on and on. Interesting take, Howard, no doubt.
Yeah, and look, I don't know what the answer to that is. It's just the kind of thing that, you know, you think about when a team makes this kind of leap. Because normally, you know, especially a team like the Suns, right, been out of the playoffs for years, been one of the worst teams and one of the worst run franchises for years. They've had a lot to get through. And so they have this breakthrough season, and normally that's the start of something. And I think this is the start of something. This is the start of a more promising new era. But it is so much tied in part to Chris Paul that I just don't know. You know, usually you break through, you figure, okay, 3 to 5 years, that's your window now. I don't know what their window really is. And especially because the Clippers and Lakers are so stacked with elite talent that everybody has to consider whether you can get through them. And then on top of that, the Utah Jazz are having just an all-time kind of season. And I think Denver still has to be heard from in all this. Portland's been great despite missing 3/5 of their initial starting lineup, and they'll get at least, you know, I think one or two of those guys back in Nurkic and McCollum. So it's tough. It's crowded.
Yeah. And kind of with that, as we're talking with Howard Beck, you know, with the play-in this year, a 10 and a 9 getting in, and the play-in with the 8 and 7, you're potentially here talking about 20 teams. But how many would be on your list, Howard, of teams that you realistically think, pre-trade deadline, because things could change like you just alluded to, but pre-trade deadline that you think could really be champions?
Oh, man. I think that in the West, Lakers, Clippers, like I think they're still in their own tier, even though they're record-wise behind the Jazz. The Jazz look like one of those teams that's going to be a great regular season team where we can't actually predict what they'll do in the postseason until we get there. And they've got to deal with LeBron and Anthony Davis, or they've got to deal with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I don't know what happens in the best of seven series against the two LA teams. So I think the LA teams and Utah are that's the conversation in the West. Those are the three teams that you think can get all the way to the finals, at least. In the East, it's Sixers, Nets, and Bucks. But, you know, I'm not one burying Boston. I still think they've got the possibility, you know, they get Marcus Smart healthy, maybe they make a move. You know, Tatum and Brown are an incredible young tandem. But it's, you know, if you're making predictions, you know, if you're really honing, you know, narrowing it down, it's probably a three-team race at this moment with the Sixers, Nets, and Bucks. And you can make a case for any of the three, and I wouldn't argue with it.
Howard, do you think Denver screwed up here? Because I really was thinking coming back into this year, I think they underestimated what Plumlee brought to their team off the bench defensively. I think Grant was incredible, and the Harris kid really can't stay healthy. Jokic is a monster, man. He's true MVP type of talent. I know you got to get more consistent, obviously, with Murray playing on that higher level, but missing those players, or do you see them falling into something as they go forward?
I mean, look, they – and all accounts are consistent on this. The Nuggets wanted to keep Jeremy Grant, and they were willing to pay him just as much as Detroit did. But Detroit offered a bigger role that the Nuggets just couldn't give him. They've got Jokic and Murray and a young Michael Porter Jr. emerging. You know, Jeremy Grant was never going to be a featured player. He was a phenomenal role player, a high level role player, one of the most valuable probably role players in the league in Denver. But the Pistons offered him the chance to be the guy, essentially. and he's taken that to the hilt. He's been great for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, Denver, you know, could they have kept Plumlee? Yeah, maybe. But Grant is the one who I think was just because of his defensive versatility and his range. That's the tough one to get away. And the Nuggets are a defensively challenged team. So I never feel like one guy when it's not a superstar, right? When it's not one of your all-stars, one guy getting away, one high-level role player getting away is not usually crippling, but it almost feels like the Jeremy Grant departure was like this thread pulled out of the sweater that caused them defensively to unravel a bit. And, you know, they've recovered nicely after a sluggish start. But the West being what it is, it's very unforgiving. And so, you know, are they even going to be a home court advantage team in the first round? Are they going to be a top four team? It's not clear right now because of how well these other teams are playing.
Howard, I know we're on a standstill or just kind of waiting on guys like Drummond, Griffin that are being held out. Are they just going to end up in the buyout market? Where are those guys' futures?
There is less than zero chance of Blake Griffin being traded with his contract and his age and his very, very clear decline. I say that with no joy. Like Blake Griffin was just a blast to watch, but and he's degraded quickly because of all the injuries he's sustained over the course of his career. Is it possible that just playing somewhere else where he's got more of a role and is more energized that there's a second wind? Maybe, but you know, people I've talked to around the league who watched him play before they shut him down, or they felt like he was pretty much done. Mm. So he'll be a buyout of some sort. Andre Drummond. In Cleveland, you know, some of these other guys were waiting on. The contract is a really, really big problem with Drummond. I think it's like $28 million. And so there are teams that certainly are interested, plenty of teams interested. But trading assets for a guy who's going to be a free agent and for the amount of his contract, which means there's a lot you have to give up to match salaries – you know, I know that Cleveland hopes to trade him. I think he ends up being bought out as well.
Howard, I know it's been killing you. It's been killing me. You haven't brought up my Kings. I know you did that on purpose, Howard. It's okay. No worries. So I'm going to do it for you.
I wasn't going to bring him up unless you did. So
okay.
Well, here we are.
I see what you did there, Howard. talking to Howard Beck, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, co-host of the Crossover Podcast. How do 11 teams? We see it every year. How do 11 other teams miss on Tyrese Halliburton? Was there something said? This kid can play, man.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure this one out, and I haven't asked around a lot. I want to say he's kind of like – it's almost like suffering from Shane Battier disease, right? Like seriously.
Is that a thing?
So you got to break that one down now for me because I'm not
– Shane Battier was a guy who, coming out of college, everybody knew was really solid, really good. It could do a lot of things, but there was no one thing that leapt off the page, and I think he was viewed as, you know – high floor, low ceiling or something.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe Halliburton, I'm not certain of this. I feel like Halliburton falls vaguely in that category. If you start categorizing draft prospects and the way that scouts view them and how they end up playing out the course of their careers, we see this over and over. You know, like Malcolm Brogdon, there was like a knee thing that I think scared people off. But Malcolm Brogdon was a second round pick, but he, again, looked like a guy because he didn't have like leap off the page type athleticism. Mm-hmm. He was looked at as, I think, maybe high floor, low ceiling. And so like there's this category of players, and I wonder if Halliburton just kind of fell into that where it was like really good defender, good shot, but not going to be an ace shooter, good ball handler, but not going to dazzle you with his ball handling, right? He can play both guard spots. He can guard at least three positions. He can do all these different things. He's like jack of all trades, but I think people didn't see stardom there, and when you're drafting in the lottery, you're going for home run swings. And so maybe he just didn't have that one super elite thing, even though he's really good at a whole bunch of stuff. But I will say, on draft night and in the wake of the draft, everybody was saying Halliburton was the steal of the lottery, or maybe even the steal of the draft. Emmanuel Quickley is going to argue that point now, I guess.
Yeah, he's pretty solid. Yeah,
but Halliburton, everybody knew immediately he slipped too far, and everybody praised the Kings at the time for snaring him. And I think what we've seen so far is that like all that praise is justified. And, you know, in the midst of what is otherwise obviously not a particularly enjoyable season for you guys, mm-hmm. At least knowing that you've got one of the best rookies in this class and everything that he's done so far, and he's been fun to watch too, that's a decent silver lining.
I knew I'd get you to talk good about the ball club without having to go back to the early 2000s. See?
And we need to know, Howard, did you trademark like Shane Battier syndrome? I think we need to keep that.
Right.
You need to trademark that.
High floor, low ceiling.
Shane Battier might argue the point. But I think he went fourth that year, but he went, was that the same year Stroman?
Begrudgingly fourth, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, no, wait, he was the sixth pick. Okay, pick. I'm not pulling this up. Sixth pick in 2001, Shane Battier, after Kwame Brown, Tyson Chandler, Pau Gasol, Eddie Curry, and Jason Richardson. That's respectable sixth, but maybe Batty is the wrong guy for this syndrome. Maybe I need a better example.
You've coined it.
Yeah.
You've coined it.
It's yours. Yeah. Well, Howard, we appreciate it. We hope we get to see you at a game sometime soon, and keep up the great work. We know we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, H.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's the great Howard Beck. That's sticking with me.
Yeah.
Shane Battier syndrome.
Yes.
And his point on Phoenix was really interesting, because you see what they did. They have Ayton, they have Booker, they have Bridges, kind of like their foundation pieces. Boom, let's splash, bring in Chris Paul. Hey, we want to make the playoffs. Kind of your thing. Shoot for the championship, you might make the playoffs. Well, I think it was make the playoffs. All of a sudden, hey, we're not only making we might be hosting the first round. We might be a 2 or 3 seed. Well, they're 2 right now. Is there a window to go, well, we did this to get Chris Paul to get us here, but can we do this?
Yeah.
So do we strike as a team, like, let's get one dude to join us, and we're going for it? And I don't know what their philosophy is.
Well, I would say I think it's a thing, but I think you're going to probably have to give up a guy like Miles Bridges or somebody like that.
Yeah.
So what you bring in, it flash in a pan, might you get it? And
could be short-lived.
Yeah, most definitely. It's a possibility, but what's the does Booker turn into an absolute superstar from that exposure and that experience and all the things that go along with that? It's an interesting one. I know Monty, he's been around Pop, he's been around championships, he's very measured in his approach to that stuff. So I'd like to ask him that sometime when you talk about playoffs first championship. That's just my philosophy. If you're aiming for that, you're probably not going to hit it, and don't miss low, because if you miss low, you're out of there.
Right.
But if you aim for that and you miss low, yeah.
High floor, low ceiling.
Oh, or low floor, high ceiling.
Yeah, there you go. There's a lot of room in there. I thought it was interesting. And then what was his championship list? Basically, he felt in the West, it's still just the Lakers and Clippers, even though Utah's having – and I think that was a fair analogy.
I do, too.
Because they're having a special season. But we need to see, can that group do it in the postseason? And then I still think he's right on the East. I mean, the Nets have moved up everybody's list. The Sixers probably have to prove it in the Bucks. But, you know, I wouldn't have picked Miami last year.
True.
They got hot at the right time. The bubble was weird, but they did it.
They did. Well, the season is weird.
Yeah, and this one is too.
Yeah. And when you talk about, even though the Lakers aren't number one seed right now, when you talk about them and then you bring in Utah, and Utah fans would probably be a little feel slighted because of that. Well, see, LeBron as a superstar and AD because a superstar have both been there and they've won championships, and LeBron even more because he's done it multiple times. When you look at Utah, they don't have that. It's still a question how people are going to respond. Right now, regular season, Jordan Clarkson, sixth man of the year. Okay, Western Conference Finals, game 4, how you going to respond? He's a hell of a player. Love what he's doing. That's the question, I think. Not Jordan Clarkson. I'm just using him as an example. But I'm saying their team as a whole. How do they respond?
And history has shown in the past, LeBron, AD, or Kawhi, Paul George still has to kind of probably do some breaking through, but that's a good roster, too.
He had a tough one last night.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Well, he may end up on either or. All-Star Edition.
Oh, okay.
That's coming your way next. Thanks again to Howard Beck. Still much more show to get to, including 5 on it. Chris still has to give us his over-under. That's coming up for tonight as well. But either or, All-Star Edition, that comes your way next here on KHDK. Thanks again to the great Howard Beck for joining us. Always good to get some national perspective.
Absolutely.
And Howard, to learn about Shane Battier syndrome. Never know what you might learn.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Yep. But, yeah, that's a fine – I mean, again, every time the
Too
Kings,
high to get over?
Too low to get under. Play somebody that was drafted.
Can't do this every day now.
Before the Kings.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, we can.
We have and we will.
Yes. We should.
I look at – man, do they wish they had Tyrese Halliburton? And you know, the Kings played the Knicks a second time, and there's nothing wrong with Obi Toppin. But I go, oh, man. And Quickley's nice. I like him. But I go, Tyrese would be pretty good there.
Oh, he would.
The Bulls with some, they got good guards, but Tyrese would. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams that drafted ahead that I know he would help.
You know,
but I'm glad he's here.
Yeah, listening to Howard, though, when he talks about the Shane Battier syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what was that? High floor, low ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay. It's weird because what he's saying is every person in that position is trying to swing for the fences,
yep,
and find a star.
Yes.
But if you go back, like even when he mentioned all those players that were drafted, it wasn't a star there. I
right.
mean, okay, Pau Gasol.
Yeah, but it took him
It took him some time,
right.
and Kobe.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's sometimes I'm going to say this is the same as baseball. How about you just lay a bunt down?
Right.
How about you just get yourself a single and get a really quality player? That's a thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've never been a scout, but I think probably some of that is what's the known quantity? So if I know you can really hit, or in this case, you're a shooter. I know I've got a shooter. Let's build the other stuff around you. Or you're tall, you're big, you're quick. De'Aaron, obviously, that jumps off the page. You could see him. Look, he's just quicker than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's a value there, but Kawhi Leonard's one of the better great players in this league. I'm sure watching him in college, you went, yeah, he's good. But what would have jumped off the page? Like, oh, he looks like a pretty good defender. Now do you see him? How big are those hands? What does he use with his hands? You could just see that's a weapon for him.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times Tyrese certainly would have had to have been a player you had to watch and then envision him in the pro game and go, okay, how would he help our team? And he's one of those guys that clearly, a lot like LaMelo watching him, he would help any team he was on.
Yeah, that's why one of the things for me, at least, as I look and evaluate players, one of the things is like a motor and
yeah,
drive and desire. That's why, like a kid, like we talked about him many times out of Washington, Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah,
he's got the one thing that at this level you need to have, or the two things: it's motor and defense. Can we teach him the other things? I think that's what people saw in Kawhi. If Kawhi doesn't go to San Antonio, I don't know that he turns into this version of Kawhi.
I agree with that.
There's some semblance,
yeah,
maybe, but maybe not that.
That was perfect for him.
It was. Listen, we don't, and I've said this, and this is for our listeners, this is progressional learning in how you bring a player along. Now you have to have the infrastructure, and this is what I thought we had here in Sacramento, and you could have just kept bringing kid players through and teaching them how to play. They put Kawhi in the corner and says, stand there, and then go to the other end and guard the best player. Then they said, corner, shoot the three, go to the other end and guard the next player. Then they said, catch it, pump fake, one or two dribbles, shoot or pass, go to the other. And progressionally each year, till it was like he was in the finals.
He's
like,
our best guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is what you call player development.
Yep.
But it started with he had the ability to do the one thing that can get you on the floor.
Right.
And that's play with a motor, yep, and compete at a high level on the defensive end.
Get you a chance.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug, we debuted this last week. Either or, where there's just two things. You and I are picking between one or the other. It's that simple. We talked about it last week with the All-Star snubs.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to do this the All-Star edition. These are all the All-Stars that are in there. We got a couple of either or. So we'll start with a couple of Celtics. Either or. Who are you taking?
Okay.
On your team.
Hold on. Who's going first here?
You will on this
one. Okay. So you got to make the list, look at it all day, study it, and then make me go first. That's why he doesn't call me back. I see how you do.
Wait, let's.
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay, anyway,
thank you.
Moving on.
I'll go first if you'd like.
No, that's good.
Okay. And we don't have to be on different sides, but we might end up on different sides. Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum?
This is a tough one.
It is a tough one.
It is. I'm a big Jason Tatum fan, and watching him, man, he is special. But I'm going to go Brown here. Yeah, I am. I'm going to go I like the fact that, he really plays on the other end of the floor. But he's giving you the same type of production. Now, he might not be the closer that Jason Tatum is. I'll give you that. We don't know that yet. He's got to get in the playoffs, got to do it. But Jason Tatum is an absolute scoring killer. Brown is a really good all-around basketball player. And give me that.
I'm with you. I thought you were going to take Tatum.
Oh, really?
I know you're a big fan of him.
Yeah, I am. It was when you said it, I was like, damn, man. Yeah, look at you. You did your homework. That's a really tough one.
I took Jaylen Brown as well for a couple of exact same reasons you did, and especially this year, he has made a significant jump offensively.
Yeah.
He was already a pretty good offensive player. Now he's a really good offensive player. And I think your point on Tatum is right that, I mean, it's in this league, Boston goes to him at the end. And they've got a couple guys. They can go to Kemba. They can go to him. They can go to Brown. They haven't really that much to Brown, but I believe he could be a closer.
I do, too.
We just haven't seen it as much.
Right. And what I just talk about, progression.
Mm-hmm.
This latest iteration of him is an all-star.
Yes, and he finally made it.
And if you look at both of their how they've escalated up points-wise, mm-hmm. it's very similar. Jason Tatum's a little more prolific. I think his was like 7-10 and then like 6 now. But Brown has been like 7-7-9 or something. Like, oh, man, he's doing it.
Yeah. So, all right, we both select Jaylen Brown. All right.
I selected first.
Okay. Next up. Kawhi or Giannis? Would you like me to go first this time?
What do you mean? Would I like you? It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Yeah. Okay. This one's difficult.
Or I could go first every time. I mean.
No?
Okay.
I'll go first this time.
Like us golfing. see what I did there?
Yeah, you're wrong for that.
I am.
All right. So Kawhi or Giannis? This one's really difficult for me as well. I'm going to take Giannis. And I'm almost doing that with reservations. Because of what Kawhi has already done and what we just talked about and what he has the ability to do. I really feel like Giannis is chasing it still. And I don't know how else I mean that, but like he's heard what he's failed on. He has all this ability. He's a great defensive player. He needs to show us in the biggest moments and hasn't done it. Kawhi has, but even with all that, I'll take my chances. I think it's Giannis.
It's interesting because I'm going to go Giannis too.
Mm.
Yeah, I am. Because I think that Giannis.
We're turning down a three-time champion, right?
Yeah, I get it. I think that Giannis is going to continue to improve. And as I say that, it hurts me inside because Kawhi is, man, I almost want to change my mind. But I'm not going to. I look at Giannis Antetokounmpo and I think his failures, and make no mistake about it, they right. have been. They have been. Meaning that his failures, you looked at Deuce. Was Deuce on
he
the other
point, side? I could tell what he was talking about, his jump shot. So, like, there's a flaw in Giannis I don't know that Kawhi necessarily has flaws in his game, but I still feel like there's more. I think Giannis is still growing.
I think Giannis wants it so bad
that
he's going to keep turning over the rocks and the pebbles, and he's just going to – like, one of the things that I see in his game now is passing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's turned into a better passer. I think that he realizes that he has to figure that part of his game out. The shooting part, not until he comes and talks to me, is that going to work for him. Okay?
Oh, you're going to teach him the shooting?
Absolutely. I got him.
Okay.
But if he doesn't, I could be wrong here.
Okay. But we both take Giannis.
Yeah, that's
all right.
That's scary. I don't
know. We're two for two.
No. Well,
What do you mean? I said it with my chest.
Okay, I kind of said it with my collarbone.
Okay. Next up, All-Star Edition. Either or.
Oh, this is a good one. Wow.
Ben
Look
Simmons
at you.
Or Paul George. It's your turn, you know.
Yeah, I do.
A deep sigh.
This one hurts me. Because what I'm going to say is probably not what you're thinking. I'm going Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Yeah, I am.
Why?
Because I think that this – now, he's not the offensive player that he is. But watching them play, He guards the best guy. He wants to guard the best guy. I don't know that he's ever going to be an offensive player. I don't know that. I think Paul George's ability to deliver on the biggest stage is in question. Ben's is as well. There's a theme here. I want you to play both ends of the floor. That's a thing.
Paul George plays some pretty good defense.
He does. He does. I'm just saying with the other two. Both of these guys are actually kind of 3-and-D. This is a leading guard position with Ben Simmons. And he actually just playing a little bit more off the ball. But, that one, these are some good ones because I could make an argument for either side.
Yeah, I picked Paul George. This one I'm not saying with my chest. It's reluctantly because I've been very critical of him. I feel like he has not broken through in the biggest moments. He's had some good teams with the Pacers and other teams. He was an MVP candidate with OKC, had a team that was ready to go. People thought could be a champion last year, and yeah, they fell short, but it's the way they went out. Even with all that, Doug, I just think there's a little bit more to his overall game. I know what you're saying about Simmons being and his height and being able to guard multiple people. He just has such limitations offensively on the shooting that would scare me. And though I'm not the biggest supporter of Paul George, that's who I would take here.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
All right. Next,
more offensive.
Next one.
I see you.
Either or All-Star edition.
This one right here. Yeah, this should be legal to even ask.
Why? Steph?
Because you know how I feel about Dame Dollar.
Or Dame.
Yeah.
It is unfair.
It is. I ain't picking against Steph, though. I mean, he's changed the kid, changed the game. Damian Lillard, man.
I think what's a testimony to Dame, though, is I honestly think this is a great debate. And there was a time where I'm like, come on.
I would agree with you. Yeah,
Steph,
like
multiple
stop.
MVP titles, greatest shooter we've ever seen. Come on. And Dame, there's no titles, no MVPs.
But boy.
What the way he plays, the way he carries that team, the way he carries himself, Dame time. I would pick Steph.
Yeah.
But that is about as razor thin, honestly. And that's
Is that weird?
Yes.
It is.
But that when I put that on there, I'm like, how is this a debate? But it is.
Yeah, it truly is. I don't think – I say this. I don't think Dame gets enough credit. Like, he's a bad dude, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the little wiggle before the move and all of the balance and effortlessness and the game face – he's playing with joy, but he does it in a real, like, chill manner. I mean, if I'm going and I'm like, oh, you got him? Give me him. Oh, totally. I'll probably win.
So who are you picking, Steph?
I'm picking
yeah,
Steph, though.
We both have Steph. But that's, man, that's a tough one.
I didn't go that same way with Kawhi winning all the championships.
Yeah, true.
But with the exception of Toronto, the other ones he was a part of.
Right.
If you guys get the chance on The Athletic, Jason Quick did an article about Damian Lillard and basically like all the stuff you really haven't heard about with he's had some family members dying like since 2020.
You know what? Just give us a cliff note.
Oh, it's just everything that him trying to separate his family life and just play basketball when he's in the basketball court and then being with family. But there is a point where he said, like, this isn't really important talking about playing the game. He's just like, all the stuff that's going on right now. He goes, he's like, it's not that I don't care, but it doesn't have the same meaning.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's a really good story.
Yeah. You know, I saw a little clip hit it and I was doing a whole bunch of stuff. I read like when you said that, Chris, I read that headline and just went, wow. I can't even imagine trying to do that. I remember when I was playing for the Kings and my grandpa died and it was tough, man. But that's part of also.
Yeah.
It's part of having a team, man.
Those
because
pick you up.
They were all around me and boosted me in a time when I you know, my family did too, but sometimes you got to get away from that and just kind of
and even get more support.
And get more support and then have this to come to.
Right.
For Isaiah Thomas talked about it
escape.
The day with his sister China when she passed away and he played. I got a 2-hour window where And I'm only talking about as soon as your feet get on the court
right back. The feelings are back.
Yeah, because as soon as there's a timeout before the game starts, you're still in that mindset.
Yeah.
Not until you hit the court does it go away.
Yeah.
And for Dame, man, shout out. Send a lot of love that way.
For sure. All right, we got one more either or.
I didn't see that one.
I know.
Oh, see?
This one's Chris.
This is what you do when you don't talk to each other.
Well, I don't know it either, Chris.
So – tonight is the big night. Shaquille O'Neal.
Hold on. What's Jay laughing about in the background?
Because he knows what it's about. Shaquille O'Neal versus Cody Rhodes. Actually, it's a tag team match. Shaquille O'Neal and Jade versus Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. Cody Rhodes was on NBA on TNT last night.
Red Velvet. I saw him.
Here's what he had to say.
Yes, so Shaq's weakness when a basketball player was his free throw shooting. What is his weakness in this match?
I don't want to deeply insult the man, but I'm going to have to. He's in great physical, aesthetic, vanity shape. I'm sure you've seen on Instagram. He's looking
vanity.
All jacked. He's shredded. But those are show muscles. I don't think Shaq has any go muscles. And I know I don't think he has enough just oxygen. I don't think he has enough gas in the tank. I'm going to run around him. This is Johnny Cage. This is Goro. If he gets his hands on me, Shaq wins 100%. I get it, but he's not going to get his hands on me because once I blow him up, there's no way he can pick me up. Red Velvet or Red Cupcake, as Shaq likes to refer to her, she slides in, she gets the dub. That's the game plan.
And there's a bet going on that he's going to body slam me. I'm telling you, that'll never happen.
Wow.
You can cancel that all the way.
So,
either or.
Either or, Shaq or Cody Rhodes.
Where are you going?
Oh, me? Okay. I'm taking Shaquille O'Neal. Barbecue chicken.
Are you?
Yeah.
Give me Rhodes, baby.
Yeah?
There we go.
And I think you'll see a body slam.
Well, maybe Red Velvet.
I think it might be a double body slam.
Oh, okay.
With the cupcake and a whole nine, baby.
That's tonight, Chris, or tomorrow night, you said?
That's tonight.
Tonight.
And I actually put some respect on his name because I have always kind of referred to him as Dusty's son.
There you go.
Yeah, he's Cody Rhodes is a grandson of a plumber because Dusty Rhodes was the son of a plumber.
Well done.
He always has something.
Yes, he does. Well, he's going to have more for us coming up. We'll get Chris's over under for tonight. We still have the crossover and five on it as we continue here on KHDK. Who's out there, Doug? Is that Kojo? Corey Joseph? Bobby Jackson out there shooting threes. Oh, Bobby's knocking him down. So
oh, yeah.
Kojo.
Bobby getting some jacks up.
Who misses next? Let's see, Bobby. Another one?
Oh, Bobby's hitting that.
Oh.
Darn you, Bobby.
All right.
Let me down.
Yeah. Well, it's Kings and Lakers coming your way tonight. Of course, we'll have the game here. The G-Man, Gary Gerald, will have the call. Doug, you'll have it on television, but we'll hopefully see a Kings win. We know that Halliburton's out. We also know that certainly Anthony Davis, who's been out, but no LeBron James tonight. Still bummed about that. Every time I see him, I know he's probably defeated the Kings more times than not, but it's still fun to see one of the legends of all time anytime they come into this building.
No, he lost the first one.
Yeah. You can never take that away.
You're darn right, Chris. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Also, this is the other thing. You know you're counting down the times that you're going to get the opportunity to watch him.
True.
And you're watching true greatness.
Yep.
And
enjoy it.
Well, yeah, one of the absolute best to ever do it. So that's – but nobody's here. Yeah, you get to watch on TV, but still. In person, and we've always said this to people who listen maybe and you never come down to Golden 1 and watch. It's one thing to watch it on TV. It's a whole other thing to see it in person.
Yeah.
It's different.
Well, one of the many things, and Howard Beck kind of alluded to it, like the chit-chat that we all might have down on the floor before a game. I just love to see other players come out and – you know, we all know, you know it, but the rest of us know how just big everybody is. And then when he comes out, you're like, man, that's a big human being.
Yeah, same with like Giannis.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, man. And it, like, first time I saw Joel Embiid, I had thoughts of Yao Ming.
I'm like,
man, you like
Jokic.
You like big, bro. Like,
Durant for me, too. Like,
yeah, Durant
is. He's so thin, but you're like, man.
Like, whoever said Durantula.
Right. Perfect.
I don't know that he likes it, but it's because there's a
fits.
yeah, there's a spider-esque thing, and then he's just eating folks up, putting them in the web.
Well, for tonight, what's going to happen, we don't know, but we do know that Chris Verlot has been the master of putting an over-under out there where he gets a number, something. It could be somebody's point total, three-pointers for a team, fouls, who knows? Doug, he finds it. He does his research, and Chris is usually pretty good at this.
Guesses.
And maybe that's it.
But he's
I'm just guessing every single game?
Yeah, because you're pretty good, actually. When I look at the number, it never fails.
I go, that's the number.
Damn, that's
it.
The number.
Yeah.
The wise guy, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
I start immediately calculating, okay, and then I start thinking, okay, what have they been doing lately? And I'm like, damn him.
Yep.
What is it?
So, Chris, what do you got for us today for tonight's over-under in this Kings-Lakers game?
So, originally, I was going to have LeBron James 24 and a half minutes.
I would have picked the over.
I would have, too.
But he's been okay.
Unless it was over early.
But then he's not playing, so I had to change it up.
That's why you guys, you're just not on point, because I would have picked the under.
Ooh. Okay.
Come on now. Think about this.
Okay. So what I've decided to go on is De'Aaron Fox, 35 and a half.
35 and a half.
Combined points, assists, and rebounds.
Points, assists, rebounds, 35 and a half for De'Aaron. Well.
Oh, if you're thinking about it, let's just say he had 28 points. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, then he's got the over.
Easy. But 35 and a half. Okay.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Okay, what's your answer?
Over.
It needs to be an over for a win,
exactly.
Right?
And that was the whole point, Jason. You read the bald head, baby. That's what I'm going with. I don't need any of that analytic stuff. You over here pulling up stat sheets and stuff and calculating. Yeah. No.
But it,
you
know what? It sounds like you're going with your heart instead of your head there, DC.
No.
Okay.
Listen, Kings, they need a win.
Yeah. Well, here's why the number is perfect. I just did the one
game. I just hate that it's perfect, though. That's the problem.
So, Charlotte, the other night, De'Aaron was great. Monster double-double, or good double-double. 20 points.
Uh-huh.
14 assists.
14 assists.
One rebound.
One rebound.
35. That would have been the under.
Well, that's where he went and did what you just did.
Okay.
Damn him.
Look at some others.
Yeah. Come on. What you got? Well, I could tell Jay's going under by his
I'm going
tone.
Under.
Okay, so under. Jay's under.
I'm taking the over.
I think I'm leading in this. Am I?
I don't think that.
No,
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure he is.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you, Chris.
No, we need to go back and check the tape. We got to check the tape.
All you
got
to do is check the text thread.
Yeah, we need to check the tape.
And I will say this: at this type of stuff, when Chris goes, oh, I'm pretty sure he already knows. Yeah, that's the thing.
No, I don't believe him at all.
Yeah, I'm
points
with Jay.
Of time.
Let's check it.
The tape.
Yeah,
check the tape.
That's just because you guys are haters.
Well,
because
I do know, like, when I got one, then it was like, oh, first one. I'm like, that's not true. It's not the first time I won, but that was the stuff that was being thrown back my way.
I don't know that you've ever won.
Okay.
Check the tape.
Let me tell you, Jay should have seen him.
Dejected.
My comment was dejection,
he
demoralizing.
He broke
What's funny is we all, Doug, you and I do that to Jason, and then he'll give that reaction. I'm like, oh, I kind of feel bad.
It doesn't stop us
from doing it again, but it makes us.
I was trying to think of something to double down on, actually, yeah. Chris, and I had the feeling of, oh, man, I kind of got him now.
Doug doesn't feel bad.
Not at all.
Yeah. I'm over. You're over. Jay was under. Chris doesn't play. Or he just
Hold on. You went over?
No, I set the line.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't say it with your chest.
Over.
Okay. Did you guys hear him say over or under?
I didn't hear him.
Yeah,
he
got it in.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. See?
Jay's
listening to everything.
Jay's just trying to go against me. This is Jay's go against D-Day.
No. I'm just checking the tape.
Okay, check the tape.
Chris, what do you have?
No, I picked the line. I don't pick.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I said. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jay is under.
Uh-huh.
You and I are over.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So this will be a thing throughout the game.
Yes, it will. 35 and a half.
Hey, you know, the other night, I would have went under with LaMelo had I known how many people were playing. I didn't know how many people were playing.
Oh, okay. All right.
And, no, but this is and you know what? After the first quarter, I was down there laughing because I know you were just dying laughing because he was on. What did he end up after one? He was almost there,
12.
Wasn't he, Chris?
He had 12, but he only had 14 at the half.
Yeah, he only had two in the second.
Oh, he only had two in the second, yeah.
You know, now that I think about it, don't check the tape because Chris did this to me in one of the Kings games. We were here. And I said, oh, I didn't think that. I wouldn't have said attempts.
I tried to tell you, when he does that, he kind of already knows.
But then he went back and played it. I said, like, word for word, what I didn't think I said. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind.
Okay.
So, caught.
Yeah, let him check the tape.
All right. Well, let's get a question from the morning show. Let's check in here on the crossover.
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave
check
Show?
Tape.
Let's
check
find
it
out right now with the crossover.
Do you believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
All right, crossover question.
Is he smiling?
Fellas, we're looking at the Phoenix Suns and their turnaround, and one little underlying topic we've had today, Chris Paul's effect on teams when he joins them. They're just ridiculously better. So here is my question for you, and I want you to go through very carefully. Let's go post-1980 so we don't get into different generations here. Is Chris Paul a top five point guard? Since 1980, is Chris Paul a top five point guard? And please show your work, gentlemen.
Okay, right off the top, I feel like he is. But then you got to do the homework, like he said.
So right off the top, Magic. I'm going to say, right there. He's probably right there. Magic, Isaiah.
Steph Curry.
Hold on, we ain't get there yet.
Okay, but actually, can we go back on Isaiah? Isaiah versus Chris Paul?
Thomas?
Yeah.
Like Bad Boy?
Is that a crazy either or? Am I off on that? Like, I think that's really close.
I don't.
Okay.
The reason is because he led his team to a championship.
Totally agree
back
with that.
To back and played in a different era and better jump shot, similar handles, both of them hella mean. But
if Paul led, they're not going to win the champion. But if they somehow won with this team.
Yeah.
And we're at the end where you go look at all the stats. Like, his stats are going to be better. And it's not about stats.
Yeah.
But that's part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
He's been a great winner.
But
not the biggest wins. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you, though. Okay, so.
Those two. Stockton? Do you have Stockton?
Yeah.
Or is he closer to Stockton in the fact that stats, but hasn't won the biggest.
Okay, hold on.
Kind of like,
Stockton.
Who else? Jay mentioned Curry.
Curry, definitely.
There's a gap, though, like in the 90s. Who are we missing? Well, I guess Stockton was still in there. You know, now we're talking about other guys like Strickland and Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
They're good, really good, but I'd put him above those guys.
I would, too. Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah.
I want to say that I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
No, we don't got to go, Chris. We got to do what we're doing right now.
I'm going to say yes, he is.
Based upon
Tony Parker.
List, yeah, I got him. Well, that's a good one, but I got him above Tony Parker.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I would say yes. Right at about 5, 4, right in there.
Good company.
Yeah.
Very good company.
Damn right. Him or Dame?
Dame.
I agree.
And, well, then he needs to be in the top five.
He is.
Okay. All right. We might have fudged our numbers a little bit. Who knows? We have 5 on it coming your way next. That's straight ahead here on KHDK.